This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. For all the conversation that's happening in this economy about the Federal Reserve, and yes, okay, it's not everybody talking about the Fed, maybe just some of us, but for all of that talk about what the Fed's doing and whether it should be doing it, there's also a conversation happening within the central bank about what it's doing. Gina Smilek covers the Federal Reserve for the New York Times. She's also a regular on this program, and her new book is about that very conversation. It's called Limitless: The Federal Reserve Takes on a New Age of Crisis. Gina, it's really good to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start by reading a little bit of you back to yourself. It's early in the book. You have a whole introduction in which you lay out the thesis of this book and how people view the Federal Reserve, and some think they're superheroes and some think they're ruining the world. And then you say about your own book, this is the tale of a mighty but fallible institution and a moment of intense soul-searching. Describe that soul-searching for me.
Right. So I've been covering the Fed for, you know, off and on about a decade now. And over that period, I've really watched them grapple with what their role in modern society is. The Fed's sort of traditional, original job was to step up and save the economy in times of financial crisis. And then it added on to that, you know, the job that we're most familiar with when it comes to the Fed, which is keeping inflation stable and fostering maximum employment. And then I think in the modern era, it's being asked to also do all kinds of new things, like policing climate risk and responding to some really big societal issues that they've often said, you know, these aren't our job, but which are increasingly central to the economy, from inequality to racial equity. It is easily the most powerful economic policymaker we have. And just how powerful, you know, should it be? Where should the limits be? And so that's sort of the thesis at the center of the book.
There are a lot of ghosts in this book, and obviously that's metaphorical, but some of them are very real. And I want to play a piece of tape now, and then I want to talk about it. And the reason I say there are a lot of ghosts is that you lay out the history of the Fed, and you talk a lot about how the present-day central bank is grappling with some of that history. So let's play this piece of tape, and I'll ID it on the back end.
Let me say, with all the conviction I can muster, had you let that inflation, had we collectively let that inflation go ahead, eventually we would have had much more severe economic difficulties than, in fact, we have had. The quicker you can take care of these problems, the better off.
There are those who will recognize that as Paul Volcker. That's his reconfirmation hearings, I think. And talking obviously about the inflation for which he has become famous in breaking the back of. And what I want to understand is how the Fed today views the Fed of Volcker's era, because it is ever present. He is ever present.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that reconfirmation hearing in particular is something I've just rewatched over and over again. That was, I think, the sort of foundational time that the Fed grappled with a huge runaway inflation problem, that it took on this mantle of being the central policymaker dealing with it. And it, you know, it won. It won a very painful battle against inflation in the 1970s and 80s, and it took credit for winning. That became very much the way the Fed viewed itself. It became the Fed's narrative about itself. And I think it incredibly importantly informs the way the Fed is thinking about the current experience with inflation.
So we go from Volcker through the Greenspan era, then to Bernanke and Yellen, and now Jay Powell. And the Federal Reserve has come in that 40-ish something years quite a long way. And I want to talk about how Powell sees the Fed today. And Jay, let's hit that Powell audience 2019 cut.
Our audience has become more varied, more attuned to our actions, and less trusting of public institutions. Gone are the days when the Federal Reserve Chair could joke, as my predecessor Alan Greenspan did, "If I turn out to be particularly clear, you probably misunderstood what I said."
Powell came out in either his first or second press conference and said, "I want to speak directly to the American people, and I want you to understand what I'm saying because it matters to you." This is a change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's so interesting. And if you will indulge me for a moment, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. You know, the Volcker era Fed was intentionally obscure. You know, they targeted the money supply partially because targeting the money supply was effectively just raising interest rates. It was the same thing that we do with the Fed today, but it was a way to do it in a really painful way without having to talk about it so much because it was pretty complicated and most people didn't understand what was happening. You know, David Wessel in the Wall Street Journal, when he was a reporter at the Wall Street Journal, once compared them to the Wizard of Oz, like pulling levers in the background. But as society progressed and as things opened up, as we got more transparency in government, that started really not working. You know, we saw by the late Greenspan era that the Fed had started to open up. But Chair Powell really, I think, looked around when he got into office, which, you know, for context, we need to remember that this is sort of the Trump administration. And it's this moment of intense skepticism of government. And he really answered that with a lot of transparency. And so I think that it's been this really, really interesting transition to watch because, of course, you're going to make some mistakes when you're trying to move from a very secretive institution to a very open one.
Do you think it's working?
You know, I will say, I think that it has been interesting to watch for me as a Fed reporter, and I'm sure you've noticed this as well. You see a lot more of the Fed on sort of general news audience-facing media these days. I think that we see it as less of an expert topic and something that everybody cares about. I also, you know, as the person who sits at the New York Times and writes about this, I feel like I have some degree of a front row seat to this transition because I'm often the one kind of trying to figure out who our audience is. And I think our audience has become a lot more general. And I get a lot of mail that is not coming from investment professionals. Hmm. It's coming from, you know, retirees. It's coming from college students. It's coming from all over the place.
That's fascinating. And let me get the plug in one more time. This is a great book, and it's a completely English language explanation of what happens with the Fed. There's great history and then the current policy stuff, which is where I want to get to now. I want to play one more piece of tape. It's Jay Powell talking to the aforementioned David Wessel, then at the Wall Street Journal, now, of course, at Brookings. So this is April of 2020. The Fed has really started to pull out all the stops. And here's what Powell tells David Wessel.
We have to find unusual and exigent circumstances. The Treasury Secretary has to agree. And we are using this fiscal backstop. But there's no limit on how much of that we can do other than that it must meet the tests under the law as amended by Dodd-Frank.
No limit. No limit.
No limit. Limitless, if you will.
I will. I will indeed. Explain to me why that was so important that you titled your book after that moment.
Yeah. So when we founded the Fed, it was really a crisis fighter. The idea behind the Fed was that we kept having these horrible banking crises and they were ruining the economy and they were doing it on an every few years basis. And so the Fed was created to avert meltdowns, to make sure that we didn't have a financial crisis every few years. And it has a set of powers that is available to it in order to do that. And in 2020, we really saw the Fed use those powers that have been beefed up over the years in ways that it's never used them before. We saw the Fed step up and save the corporate bond market. It saved the municipal bond market. It created a Main Street lending program. Every kind of credit that you can basically think of, it created some sort of safety net to make sure that it didn't crash at the onset of the coronavirus. And it was really effective. There was a financial crisis at the start of 2020, but I bet most of your listeners don't know that. Mm-hmm. Most people I talk to do not realize that this happened because they stopped it so incredibly quickly. And so I think that this is going to be a real flashpoint for them going forwards because we now know what the Fed can do. But in 2020, there wasn't a lot of sort of soul searching tied to that because, you know, it was a pandemic. It was nobody's fault. But I think the next time you get a crisis that maybe is somebody's fault, where markets are melting down because it's because somebody took a bad bet, as we have seen happen, you know, repeatedly over the decades, so this isn't really a hypothetical, you know, is the Fed going to come under pressure to use those same powers again? And should they use those powers again? And it's worth talking about how limitless that power is.
Do you think the Fed has now, with inflation and with the pandemic and with even 2008, do you think it has slain the ghosts of Marin Erkels and Paul Volcker and Greenspan?
I don't know if it's slain the ghosts. I think it's kind of like got all those ghosts hanging out all the time. It's like this is like the Christmas Carol. The ghosts are the ghosts are there on a consulting basis, I'd say. So I think that, like, as in much of government, past is often precedent for the problems that face the Fed. You know, we thought we vanquished inflation forever, and as it turns out, we didn't. And so now we're spending a lot of time talking about Paul Volcker and his legacy. And so I think those ghosts are kind of always around a little bit.
If you want to know about Fed history or what it did during the pandemic and all that stuff in between, this is the book for you. It's called Limitless. It's by Gina Smilek. She covers the Fed for the New York Times, and she's on this program on Fridays every now and then. Gina, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Guy.